Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
All right, it's good to be with you guys. While Chris is getting me a stand, please grab your Bibles. Go with me to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. But this is going to be a fun morning. Most of the time, you're not supposed to tell people this, but I had actually written all my sermons for the weekend, and I'm sitting there in worship, and the Lord's going, okay, well, you're not going to do the message, you're going to do this. So this ought to be really a lot of fun. And this is the third time, I don't know what it is when I come with your fellowship. Every time I come up here, it's like, I don't know if I'm not hearing God right or what, but I come up here and he says, no, you're not going to do that, you're going to do this. And it just like throws me into total dependency. So go with me to verse 4, Luke chapter 3. Thank you, Chris, for the prayer and everything. It's good to be with you guys. Listen, in verse 4, let's read what it says here. And it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine will be filled and every mountain shall be brought low. The crooked shall become straight and the rough road smooth. And all flesh will see the salvation of God. When I first came to the Lord, I was an art student in Denver, Colorado. These words, when I read them for the very first time, the power of the Lord hit me. And all of a sudden, I realized that I was in a generation that we were going to see a mighty move of the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that's, what is that, 30 years ago now. We've been building towards this. As I was sitting there during worship, the Lord started saying, hey, there is a change coming right now in the world, and it's going to be my voice is going to start going out. And so let's look at the passage here real quick. It says, the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Interesting enough, wilderness, these are symbolic terms. Wilderness has to do with a dry, barren place where it has none of the voice of the Lord. In April, I was actually before the Lord, and I said, what are you doing on the planet? There's so much fear. Everybody's afraid of something. The economy's crashing. What are you doing? And the Lord, it was like I was in heaven with him, and he was showing me the earth, and he was showing me that the ground was parched and dry. And then I saw this river coming from the throne of God and literally just splashing a violent torrent on the ground. He says, it's time for the earth to be soaked with the goodness of God. And so, please understand, in the world we live in, if the Word of God is not bringing people to salvation, we are in a dry and weary land because the Word of God produces life. The Word of God is not something to be ignored or it's sidelined. It is powerful. It draws nations to it. And God is trying to clearly tell us something in this season. Look at the land. The land is now having God shake it intentionally so that they can hear a voice specifically. And we need to recognize that we're in this season with the Lord. He is intentionally talking to people because he's planning on revealing his salvation in a very powerful way. How do I know that's true? Let's keep looking at the passage. Voice of one crying in the wilderness, make the way of the Lord. Now, the word way here is interesting. Because it's going to start talking about mountains and valleys and paths, and it's using a symbolic language to say the heart needs to become connected with God, so whenever God speaks something to it, it immediately responds. Well, what keeps people's hearts from immediately responding to the voice of the Lord? Their ways are confused. Their paths are messed up. Mountains are in the way. Valleys are causing problems in their life. And the Lord is saying he is intentionally coming to the hearts of people to make his voice known to them. We're in this season right now. So God is saying, I'm going to make a way, and he's intentionally doing this. So how does he do it? Let's keep reading. He will make his path straight. Now we're into paths, and it's interesting in Scripture, when it talks about paths, it's talking about what sidelines people or what causes people not to connect with the Lord. So it could be a mindset, it can be an attitude, it can be your it can be an outward thing, it could be your possessions, it can be the bitterness that you have in your heart, anything that keeps you from receiving the voice of the Lord is going to challenge that in the human heart. And what's interesting about this passage, he is not talking to the church, he's talking to the world. This is what he does to the world. He comes and he challenges, what is it in your heart that keeps you from listening to me and receiving me? I'm going to challenge it. I'm going to go after it. This is what we would call a proactive statement from the Lord that comes from John the Baptist. So he says that he'll make every path straight. So anywhere inside of you and I, or anywhere inside of the culture where we have gotten caught in a cul-de-sac or we're in a ditch, it is God's voice that is released, and then it brings us back to the straight path to receive from the Lord. Let's keep looking at the passage. It says that he will, every ravine will be filled. This is interesting because ravines in scriptures have to do with the place of discouragement, despair, and death. Now look what he's saying. He will release his voice to the nations, and some people are caught in a ravine, so he cannot leave them there. He has to go to them and lift them up so that they can receive the voice of the Lord. We're in an interesting time in the fact of people are having their foundation shaken intentionally, and a lot of people think that's a bad thing, but from God's perspective, he has to shake them so that they come out of a place of despair so that they can receive his goodness. You know, despair, depression, anxiety, all those things ending up being like a ravine, and you cannot get out of them, and it's only the voice of the Lord that can set people free in that area. Now, because I'm glad God gave this through Isaiah and John the Baptist presented it, because in every generation, God is trying to release his voice to call people out of the ravines that they're stuck in. It's his voice that delivers. It's his voice that gives counsel. It's his voice that comforts. And God is heading towards something. Let's keep looking at it. Every mountain and hill will be brought low. So what do mountains represent? Hills represent. And after I present this, you'll see it going on right now. Mountains and hills represent kings and kingdoms. So when God is going to do something on the planet, the first thing he does is he challenges kingdoms that resist his voice. Every kingdom or every leader that think they can stand against the Lord, once he announces he's going to do something, he comes and he levels them to show them they don't really have power. Only one king has power. And he aggressively goes after them. It's not our job to go after them. It's his job to go after them because they're standing in the way for the salvation of the Lord to come to a group of people. And God will go after them. Isn't that amazing? If you look at the nations right now, how they're being shaken, leaders are being shaken, and it's because of God's intent on what he's doing on the planet right now. He is intentionally heading us towards something. What is he heading us to? The crooked will become straight. When God is trying to do this, he is trying to bring righteousness back to people. I don't think you even have to watch TV anymore. You can just observe it in the culture. Crookedness in thinking, crookedness in our behavior, crookedness in how we perceive the Lord. And God is saying, I'm going to release something in your day where I actually teach the nations righteousness again. Now, it's hard to learn righteousness when everything's going your way, isn't it? You learn righteousness. There's this really interesting passage in Isaiah 26, verse 11. It says, God releases the judgments of God to teach the nations righteousness. I mean, if you didn't hear it from the Word of God, you'd think, why is all this stuff going on? God is having a conversation. We're in the middle of it. I loved what Chris did when he read that passage. He said, you and I have been called to suffer with Christ. You guys aren't doing this stuff. The nations are doing this, and you get to suffer with them. Do you guys feel blessed? And yet you've been called to this. The Lord is actually telling you, recognize, observe it. You're suffering because God is having a conversation with humanity now, and he's going to teach the nations righteousness by what he's doing. Please don't get caught in what you're observing. Look at the bigger picture of what God is trying to accomplish. God is after something with the humanity. And I'm going to go to our part in a minute, but I want to clearly tell you what God is after now in the nations. If you're wondering why economies are being shaken, people are having to deal with things they've never had to deal with before, God is having a conversation. The word of the Lord has gone out, and God is inviting mankind to salvation right now. Let's keep moving on. The rough roads will be smooth. This has to do with bitterness. This has to do with judgment in the heart. Roughness has to do with your attitude towards things. So God is going to release his voice. And where there's bitterness or harsh or attitudes, God is going to say, I'm going to deal with that because I want a clear path that when I speak, people respond. What keeps people from responding? Bitterness, anger, anxiety. This rough place inside of us, this dull place inside of us, he's going to announce something, and then the Holy Spirit is going to be released, and he's going to start doing this work, and it might not be something you observe almost immediately, but once God announces, I'm on a path with the nations, he's doing this, and he's clearly telling it so that even though you might not be able to observe it, you can take God at his word, he's doing this. Let's keep moving on. So what's God's ultimate intent here from John the Baptist's prophecy? God is heading towards something. He isn't doing this because he thinks, well, it's 2020, this will be fun, we can talk about this in eternity. He's after something with people, which we would expect. What is God after? He's not just after to judge them. He's after it because he wants all flesh to see the salvation of the Lord. So God is after something, and he wants you and I to recognize what he's doing right now on the planet so that we can respond as his children in the midst of this. God is going after the nations with salvation. I think I shared this with you guys last month. I've been trying to not just watch the news. I mean, don't you guys find that depressing? I've been trying to find out what God is doing on the planet. I've only kept up with four ministries, and they've seen over 200,000 people come to the Lord in the last several months. God is having a conversation with the nations right now. Now, if this is what God is doing in the nations, are we just to sit back and watch it, or is God trying to work on something in our own lives? Let's keep going on in the passage. Now, what was John's baptism for? I love having this conversation. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for sin. It was for people who did not know the Lord or people that were in rebellion to the Lord. It was a call to come back to the Lord. That was John's baptism. And yet, here in verse 21 it says, now when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was also baptized. What? I know that you guys think about this stuff all the time and lay in bed at night like I do trying to figure this out. Why is Jesus being baptized and he has no sins? Most people would say, well, it's to fulfill all righteousness. Well, that's the idea of the passage. But what do you mean to fulfill all righteousness? A bunch of people are coming to find the Lord. Here's the Son of God. He's being baptized. Why is he being baptized? And how is it a form of righteousness? Now, this is for you if you know the Lord right now. God's doing all this stuff. He's announcing, I'm doing all this. And yet, here's a baptism for someone who already knows the Lord. What is this baptism that we need to be paying attention to? Because I actually believe this is the baptism that God is calling you and I to today to enter into. So what is Jesus' baptism? Let's look at it. Now, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, the heavens were open. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven. You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Jesus' baptism is a baptism of the Father's embrace in his life. It was to get him past the system of the world and stop thinking like fallen man and enter into the pleasure of God and minister out of the pleasure of God. And see how unique it is? He says here that when he was praying, the heavens were open. So God is telling us, while this stuff is going on in the nation, I have an open heaven for you. Come to me now, the heaven is open. Now, the point isn't just to get anointed. The heavens are open, and the Holy Spirit wants to come and do a work that he initiated, which is called the approval and the embrace of God the Father. Why is this so important at any time in your walk with the Lord? Because if you don't recognize God's pleasure over you, you will be working to get his pleasure instead of working to show his pleasure. God created you to have the tangible sense of his love surrounding you, filling you, and satisfying you. And what we've had is we've had generations growing up trying to get it instead of realizing it is theirs, and they're trying to earn something that God says, I have already baptized you in it. Receive this from me. Rest in the Father's pleasure and recognize I am aggressively for you. It's actually hard to teach on the pleasure of God because most people believe when I look at God, all I expect is him to just either be frustrated with me or just trying to help me learn to develop patience. And when you try to change people's minds and say, hey, while God is actually moving on the planet, he's trying to shake us into a baptism of the Father's embrace so that the things that everyone else is having anxiety about, you're rejoicing in. Do you notice how they were singing songs about praise and we're like, okay, yeah, I got to get out of the culture. I got to dive back into praise. But God is saying, look, you're in a different kingdom. We're in a different kingdom. His kingdom has the pleasure of God on it. How do I overcome the things that I see God doing? Why should I not be fearful? The pleasure of God is resting on me. That's very specific. It actually means that every time I look to the Lord, I should be expecting the embrace of God to comfort me, strengthen me, and love on me. Now let's see if I can bring this to home. When we talk about the pleasure of God, it's actually easy to recognize. Now, at a certain season of my life, I kept saying, God, would you reveal your love to me? I mean, I read about your love, but I don't know how to enter into that. Have you guys ever been in that place? So here, Jesus' baptism, it says the Holy Spirit came on him in bodily form like a dove. Anytime God gives us wisdom when we read the scripture, anytime we pray and God answers our prayer, anytime we feel the presence or the comfort of the Lord, anytime we worship and we have a sense of God being there, God is communicating something. He's not just communicating his presence, he's communicating approval and the pleasure of God. And what we've done is we've trained a group of people, when God is drawing near, become active instead of becoming a nurturing person in the presence of God. So, let's just say, hypothetically, we see God challenging a nation, and it causes me to become fearful. I come to the Lord, and I say, Father, embrace me. And I wait on the Lord for an embracing to come, and when that pleasure comes out of me, he's showing me, this is how you're to live as a believer. You're not to enter in and out of that. This is what my son walked in and did everything he did, and I want you to get used to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit continually so that you're living in the pleasure of God and you can do the things that God has called you to. There's one more passage and we'll be done here. This is the passage that the Lord actually brought me to salvation. It's in Matthew chapter 11, and it's about God talking about good gifts. He says, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm sure you guys have seen this. It doesn't say, you who are evil know how to give a good gift. It says, you who are evil know how to give a good gifts, plural form. So why did he say that? A lot of people read that and they think, well, the gift is the Holy Spirit. That means I'm saved and I'm sealed for the day of redemption. But it used the plural form of it because it's trying to get across the point to you. The gift for your whole entire life is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ask for that gift continually. Holy Spirit, come. Bring your presence. Bring your fire. Whatever I need of the embrace of God in my life, I ask for that present. And because God is good, He is going to give it to us. If you would like to receive, like you already haven't, but if you'd like again right now to receive the embrace of God, stand. Just kind of put your hands out. This is your Father embracing you. Just kind of, here we go. Holy Spirit, come. Bring your presence. Bring your power. Embrace us, Lord. Let your pleasure rest upon our hearts and our minds. Strengthen us, God. Now, Lord, I ask that your perfect love would cast out all fear. Let your perfect love come.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.